Chof Alef Shvat, Wednesday, the 22nd of January, of Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, underlying themes.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to begin with two questions relevant to this week's Parsha, and Rez Hashem, we're going to come out with the Yesod, which is, again, relevant to our everyday lives. To begin with like this, Parsha's Mishpatim. Question number one, there's a Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin is discussing an Eved Ivri, a Jewish slave, someone who was acquired by another Jewish person. And the Gemara discusses the many dinim pertaining to how we have to treat this Eved. Although normally when it comes to an Eved, let's say a non-Jewish Eved, we own him and we can do what we want with him. When it comes to an Eved Ivri, the Gemara learns out from a Pasuk in this week's Parsha, Ki Toiv Lo Yemoch, that he has completely different dinim. The Gemara says that when it comes to telling him to work, he cannot do work which is below your standard, which you wouldn't do yourself. What you would do, you can give to him to do. What you would not do, you cannot give to him to do. The Gemara says as well, that when it comes to food, you have to give him exactly the same food that you would eat yourself. If you wouldn't eat that food, if it's old, it's not fresh, it's not tasty, you don't give it to him. The Gemara gives an example of dry wine and sweet wine. Dry wine is much better, obviously, and you can't give him sweet wine if you don't appreciate that. We'll discuss it by a cushion. If you have a cushion made out of straw or a cushion made out of feathers, you have to give him the cushion made out of feathers. And the Gemara concludes and says that it comes out from this Gemara, Kolakoyna Eved Ivri. Anyone who acquires an Eved Ivri, Ki'ilu Kona Odoin La'atzmoy. It's as if he's brought upon himself a master. And Teachers on the page immediately ask the question that all these examples that you'll show me just shows us that he's on an equal par with me. It doesn't show me that he's on a higher level, Kilukana Odoin La'atzmoy, a master. Where do we see a master? And Toshis quotes the Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi says enough Gemina. The Yerushalmi says if you have one cushion only, you have to give it to your Eved Ivri. Memela says Toshis, that's Pshat the Gemara, Kilukana Odoin La'atzmoy, it's as if you brought a master upon yourself, because he has something that you can't have. Fine. The question is like this. I'm saying, let's discuss, who is this Eved Ivri? The Eved Ivri, in a classical case of the Gemara, is someone who was sold by Beis Din. He was someone who was caught stealing. He's a thief. He's someone who hasn't been going very well for him in life. He's quite low at the bottom of he's not doing very well in life. He stole and he was caught. He didn't have money to pay back, so he had to be sold into slavery. So not talking about the biggest tzaddikeh. Nevertheless, we do understand the Torah is drachecho darchinoyam. The Torah is very kind, very compassionate. And it says, listen, enachanama, he's being sold into slavery. But treat him with a bit of respect. Don't treat him as if he's a nothing. He's a someone. And therefore treat him with respect. But say that I'm going to treat him with respect. The Torah continues and says, not only with respect, treat him as an equal. As an equal, it's difficult, I'll swallow it. Fine, you want me to treat him as an equal? Beseda. Comes from the Torah and says, no, he isn't equal, but treat him as if he's a kono odin la'atzmo. You brought a master upon yourself. There's a limit. I'm saying, I'm doing a favor, I'm happy to help him, but as if I've brought a master upon myself. I'm a hardworking man, I've worked 12 hours a day, I come home, I'm absolutely exhausted, I take it to my carpet, I take out the cushion, there's only one cushion. I can't sleep without a cushion. I have to give it to the Eved. There has to be a limit somewhere. That's question number one. Question number two, another posuk in this week's Parsha. The posuk is discussing about a mashkim, about the mitzvah of lending to someone else money, and it's telling us the importance of doing it. So the Torah, when it speaks out, this posuk says it in a very, very interesting manner. It says like this, it says, if someone comes to you for a loan, you hear a knock on your door, and the guy wants a loan, sorry, I don't like stopping in the middle. Get a knock on your door, the guy wants a loan. He's your neighbor, you don't really know him, but you're happy to lend him money. It's a big mitzvah. Halvor is the biggest form of stocker that a person can do. If you're helping him build himself on his own two feet, you're happy to help him. He wants £100,000. You say, fine, I've got the spare cash, I'm going to give it to you. However, I need a security. Give me a collateral. Give me a mashkin. That if, for whatever reason, you can't afford to pay me back, at least I know I've got something to refer to. I've got security. Very understandable, reasonable, and fair, l'chayra. However, the posuk continues and says that if the mashkin that you gave to this guy is a blanket, then make sure when it comes to the night and it's the winter month and it's freezing cold, make sure you return him the blanket. And there's two questions that emerge from this posuk. Question number one is the actual loshon. The posuk says, "Im chovel tachbel salmas re'echo." You lend imchovel tachvul zaman shvei. If you take away the blanket of your friend because you're using it as a collateral, ad boy hashemesh tashivenu loy. When the sun sets, make sure you return it to him. Why? Ki hi chesusoy levadoy. He simlosa. This is his only clothes that he has, his only blanket. But me yishkav, because what's he going to sleep? The Torah is kavyochol pleading with us. Do me a tova. He's got no blanket. Give him a blanket. He's going to be freezing. And the Torah ends off v'hoyoki yitzakelai. And if he cries out to him because you refuse to return it to him, yushinova shamati chanonya. I'm going to hear his cries. You're going to get punished. The Torah is already threatening us. It's very strange to have a pasuk in the Torah which begins with pleading and ends off with threatening. It's not the normal lashonis that the Torah uses when it tells us something. That's question number one. And question number two, in the actual pasuk, it doesn't make a word of sense, l'chayah. And we just spoke out, I gave you a loan, I'm happy to help you out, but that, again, there has to be a limit. I need my security. You told me I can take a security. It makes sense to take a mashkin. So I have to give it back to you every single night. I've just lost my loan. I'm not going to get it back if you know you're good, if you know that the mashkin's coming, being returned to you every night. That's the two questions that are boiled in this week's parsha. So we move from here, an unbelievable yisod. So we move from here, something which literally is negated to everyday lives. We know that the Torah, even the dinim in Parshas Mishpatim, are all based on the idea that that if there wouldn't be dinim in the world, like the Chazal say, ish es chaveri chayim bloy, a person would swallow his friend up alive. He knows there's nothing stopping him from ruining his friend, from taking the guy's money away, from destroying his business. So why not? So there had to be dinim. So obviously the dinim are based on kindness, on compassion, on all these ideas. However, we're going to see here, what's coming out from here is, that apart from the fact that the dinim themselves were created and based on kindness, in the dinim themselves, there's a sensitivity which literally goes down to the depth of a person. Sometimes it goes so far and it overcomes dinei choshe mishpat. Sometimes the Torah reveals to us the unconscious framework behind a person's psychological mind, how much he's going through, and the cries that he emits are not just cries of pain, they're other cries which we're going to see soon. We're going to see here deep yesodus mivu in these psukim. The Pasuk in Parshas Bishalach says like this. Let's go slowly. The Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling them the mitzvahs that they've got. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, make sure you listen to my mitzvahs. However, the Loshon he uses is very strange. The Pasuk says, V'ha'azamto l'mitzvaysof. And its literal sense means, the Torah is telling us, make sure you do the mitzvahs. However, what's this loshon of v'ha'azamto l'mitzvahs of? So the Rishonim already speak out that v'ha'azamto is a loshon oizen. Put your ears to the mitzvah. And the Rishonim speak out b'kitzer, but the yesod is that when it comes to a mitzvah, apart from doing the actual ma'aser mitzvah, from fulfilling that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to do, there's another concept here which the Torah is trying to tell us. The Torah is trying to tell us, v'ha'azamto, that we have to be attentive to the mitzvah. We have to look behind the mitzvah. What is the mitzvah coming to do, and how is it occurring in all the situations? What's going to come out from the actual mitzvah? That's what Torah is telling us. When it comes to Parshas Mishpatim, at first glance, when you open the pasuk, there's very dry dinim. Difficult dinim, it's not so enjoyable. However, if you look at what the dinim are based on and how far the Torah went in its sensitivity to another person, then we can see here the Torah is trying to show us a hanhoga, how we should act when it comes to these situations. Let's go through the questions. The first question we began with was the kasha of giving out a mashkin to someone else. you give a loan out and the guy gives you a mashkin. So he said, the second question, sorry. So he said, l'chayr, it doesn't make sense that the guy has that, you have to give back the security, you have to give back the mashkin, the collateral, it's very unfair. So it's mevor from here that you're right. But Etzim in Choshe Mishpat, we're 100% right. It doesn't make a word of sense. I lend him money, I have a right to take the mashkin. However, the Torah is telling us, you should know there's a problem here. Because on the other side of the fence, I've got a guy who hasn't got a penny to his name, and he hasn't got a blanket at night. He's freezing cold. On the other side, I've got someone who's crying out to me. Someone who's an absolute, absolute nebuch. And he needs my help. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, what should I do? I'm asking you a teva. I know you're right in Choshe Mishpat, you're right, but what should I do? There's someone crying. I need you to help him. Bameh Yishkav. You've got brilliant tainas, but answer me this question. How is he going to sleep at night? Bameh Yishkav. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a problem here. This problem is bothering me too much. How's he going to sleep? Therefore, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'shamati kichanan oni. If he cries out to me, even though you may be right in Choshe Mishpat, nevertheless, I'm going to hear him. Why kichanan oni? There's an hog, which obviously only the Torah could be koveya, and only the Torah knows when it's right, that even when someone has a choshe mishpat de ketvi, a monetary taina, nevertheless, the rachmonos of the Torah will overcome it. So in here we see our father Torah sensitivity went that it'll go, it'll even overcome a choshen mishpat de ketubiyah. In the parsha of Eved Ivri, it's a different nekuda, also sensitivity, but in a different way. Here the Torah plumbed right to the depth of the person's neshama and showed us how far a person can fall. It said, imagine this Eved Ivri. He knows he's stolen, and he knows that he's trying to pay back a loan, and he's a slave because of that. So imagine Eved Ivri goes to sleep at night, and he wakes up in the middle of the night, and he sticks out his hand to take the cushion, because it must have fallen off the bed if it's not under his head. He sticks out his hand, and he doesn't feel it. He looks up, he gets up, and suddenly he chaps, ah yeah, there was only one cushion. He looks around and he sees his Odin, his master, fast asleep on the bed, very peacefully, very relaxed, with a cushion under his head. What's going to go through his mind, says the Torah? This Eved is going to think to himself, ah yeah, I'm an Eved and he's an Odin. Why am I an Eved? Because I'm a thief, because I'm a lowlife. These machshavas, which is enough to ruin any single person, especially someone in such a situation like him, the Torah said he doesn't deserve. This distress, this sas, says the Torah, I can't take achrayas for. So yes, you may be right. You may be right that you deserve the cushion and it's very unfair. But I can't take achrayas for Yena's pain. It's too difficult. The Al-Sheikh brings this out, this Nekudah, by an Almona and a Yosem. The Torah tells us, Kol Almona v'Yosem lo yis'anun, make sure that you don't cause them any pain. And when the Torah warns us about not causing this Almona Yosem pain, the Torah uses double Lashonis. It says, Ane Sa'ane is going to cry out to me, So'ik Yitzak. And the Al-Sheikh already says, what are the double Lashonis? So the Al-Sheikh says this Nekudah. The Al-Sheikh says that the Torah went down literally to the depth of a person's unconscious mind. And it says when this Almona or this Yosem cries out from pain because someone is bothering them, there's two cries going on here. There's the cry from the actual pain which the woman or the son is going through. And there's a cry that if only my husband were alive, if only my father were alive, this never would have happened. The Rambam, Mikoyach, this posuk in the Torah, says that even if someone really wants to help an Almona or a Yosem, he really wants to help them to go in the Derech HaTovah HaYoshel, the Yosem's got no one to look after him, to be Mechanechim, and the next door neighbor says, listen, let me, I'm going to help him out, I want to be Mechanechim, so obviously I have to shout him sometimes. Says the Rambam, there's different halachas pertaining to you have to do it. Why is there different halachas? Because the tsar that you might inadvertently cause to this Yosem is so dangerous, literally playing with fire. And therefore, the whole chinuch is going to be a different chinuch when it comes to Yosem and Almona. That's how far it goes, and that's the double loshon which we use. I just want to tell you over two short anecdotes to bring out this Nekudah, how the Gedolim saw the sensitivity, what they took out from the Torah. One is with my Zayda Rabbi Yosef Chaim. My Zayda was a Rav of a shul, and the Chazan was Nifta a week and a half before Rosh Hashanah. The Chazan was davening Musaf Yom Neiroim. He had been down there for 20, 30 years with Nachum Bergman, and he was Nifta just before the Yom Neiroim. So the Gaboyim came to my Zayda, and they said, listen, there's no Chazan, so we're going to choose a new one. So my Zayda said, don't worry, it's on me. I said, fine. So they didn't say anything. A few days before Rosh Hashanah, they came back to him. You know who's the Chazan, we want to tell him the rules. It's Zayda, I sorted it out, it's all done. Fine. Comes to Rosh Hashanah, the guy done Sukkot Zimra, Shachris, Yashofa, they're waiting for the chazan. My Zayda turns around and he went to the Nifta's son, which we know in Halacha is also for him to daven, because within the year, it's covered for the tzibur and Oval doesn't daven. He went up to him and he says, please go and take the omud. Obviously, a commotion occurred, but the Rav said, so they carried on davening. After davening, they went to my Zayda and they said, this is a Shulchan Aruch. I'm saying the Mechaber says it's also for covered at tzibur for Oval to daven. What happened there? So my Zayda looked at them and he said, you're asking a good question. Very, very good question. But let's look at it like this. We've got a Shulchan Aruch which says, it's not an Issa, it's a Minag in Klal Yisrael, that an Oval does not daven during the year. On the other hand, I've got a woman upstairs in the women's gallery who's been listening to her husband davening here for 30 years. Every time the guy starts Hinini Oni Mimaz, she hears her husband's voice. Her husband's just died, and she's about to hear a stranger's voice. Do you want me to take that responsibility when she hears a different voice emanating from downstairs to that tsar that she's going to go through? That tsar, which is an Issa D'Oraisa, I can't take. Obviously, it had to be a Rav to be Kaveya, such a psak. But the Yesod is clear, the Yesod is sensitivity to others. The same happened with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in a different way. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I think the other one was Rav Gifter. They were walking together into an asifa in America. We're talking about a very big shir, men and women, hundreds of them, and they were all there for the shir. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rav Gifter were walking into the hall, and I think it was Rav Gifter, he said to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, let's go around the back. Because if we go through the front, then there's going to be a commotion. Everyone's going to stand up for us. It's going to, you know what I mean? Let's go quietly around the back. People don't have to make a noise. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, no. I bedafka want to go through the front. Because our wives are sitting in this hall. And our wives who throughout the year have to go through stress and difficulties because their husband is busy with the tzibur, deserve that bit of pleasure, that bit of honor when they see the people standing up for their husband. Rabbi Yaakov didn't take into effect the gaiva involved and everything else. There are times when the person has to look out for others. That's the sensitivity which we're seeing in this week's parsha. That yes, you're right, I'm very embarrassed, everyone's going to stand up. But again, what about my wife? What about other people? What, the sensitivity, that is what we're seeing in this week's parsha. There's a very interesting pasuk. The pasuk says, "Va'anshe kodesh tiyundi." The pasuk says that you should be holy people. On, you know what I'm saying? Before this pasuk, there's a Ramah. There's a Ramah in Hilchos Shabbos. The Ramah says that erev Shabbos a person should sharpen their knife. And the Ramah brings down from the Kolboy, one of the Rishonim, that the reason why you should sharpen your challah knife before Shabbos is lechvoid Shabbos. Fine, very easy, very simple, understandable. However, Mishnah Berurah brings down a Sifri. The Sifri juxtaposes the posuk of Yodaito ki Shalom Oyehilecho, which is discussing Shalom Bayis, to this din of sharpening your knife. And the question is, what is this connection between sharpening your knife, Erev Shabbos, which you're going to cut your challah with, to this din, to the din of Shalom Bayis? And I saw brought down from a Mashkiach, he's not alive anymore in South Wolfsburg, he says that a very interesting Peshat, which L'chayr is the same Nakuda. The Sifri, again, was going down to, literally to understand the mishaps that can occur, and it was telling us to prevent it. It says like this, you got this guy, he goes home, listen, Shalom Bayis, he's going to work very hard all week. Sunday, Monday, the food gets burnt, this happens, that happens, like all human beings, but he keeps his mouth closed, he's not going to say anything. Tuesday, Wednesday, he's doing really well. Obviously, he's not so happy, things haven't been going so well, but he's keeping it within him. He's keeping his mouth shut. Thursday, Friday, it's really, really getting hard, but he's not saying a word. It's boiling, he's angry, he's really getting angry, but nothing. Comes Friday, like all the from good guys, he doesn't eat a lot on Friday because he wants to come into Shabbos very hungry, so have an Oinik Shabbos. He sits down at the table, he's starving hungry, he hasn't eaten all day, he takes off the challah deker to cut the challahs, he's got a fresh aroma coming out of it, he takes the knife and he's already, the saliva is already coming out of his mouth, he takes the knife and he starts cutting and cutting, and it's not going. At that second, he just explodes. He can't take it. All the fury from the whole week, all that anger that he's kept in comes out. Says the Sifri, V'yodaito ki shalom oyehilecho. You have to prevent these things from occurring. You have to look ahead. You have to prepare for it, to take away the hurdles that can occur for shalom bayis. This is the nekudah that we're saying, that the Torah is telling us in Parshas Mishpatim, not just dinim, not just dinim how to act, it's telling us to be sensitive, to look even more, look behind the dinim, look at the lemudim that we can take out from the Torah, when it comes to Eved Ivri, when it comes to Mashkin, all these stories, they're all different, the Torah is bringing out, the Torah is watching out for every situation that can occur. And that's what the Torah tells us when it ends off in this week's Parsha, Va'anshe Kodesh Tilni, you should be holy people to me. Says the Torah, Obosavasada Trefa Loitechelu, if you have an animal which gets mauled, which gets torn apart by another animal, don't eat it, Lakele Tashlichu Meisai. So this is the Peshat I once heard over. That you're a shepherd. You've got hundreds and hundreds of sheep. So how do you guard them? You have a shepherd dog. So you have this shepherd dog who's guarding all the sheep. He rounds them up every day at the end of the day. He guards them from exterior influences coming in. And that's how you manage with all your sheep. One morning, you get up in the morning, there's a dead sheep there. The sheep's been torn apart by a wild animal. It's dead. What's the first reaction? You take your whip and you beat up the dog. Very simple, you didn't do your job. Says the Torah, Va'anshei Kodesh Tiyundi, I want you to be holy people to me. How do I want you to be a holy person? I want you to take this dead animal, this Bosabas of the Trefa, and Lakelev Tashlichon Oisoi. I want you to give it to that same dog which didn't do its job. You're asking me why, says the Torah? Very simple. Because instead of focusing on the negative occurrence that happened now, look at the past experiences. Until now, you never had the wild ant, you never had a sheep which died. Until now, everything was going perfect. And did you show any occurrence of Torah? Until now, says the Torah. So now when it happens, instead of focusing on the negative, use it as a positive opportunity. Look forward. Look at it as a way to say, oh, now I can show my Hakaras HaTov, I can appreciate what's happened. Something which is negiah to us every single day when things don't go right, instead of focusing on the negative, to look at the opportunities that come out from it. That is what the Torah is trying to tell us when in Parshas Mishpatim. And that's like what we say in Shachris every single day. When we say the Halalukos and we end off Bal Yedo'um Halaluka, or Mishpatim Bal Yedo'um Halaluka. Even your Mishpatim, which at first glance looks like simple dinim. It's just Mishpatim. It's hard to learn, but I'll learn it and I'll know the dinim. No. Even Mishpatim Bal Yedo'um, even your actual dinim Abayadom, we can't even fathom how deep it goes. How, apart from the dinim, the sensitivity and the kindness and the compassion that lies behind it. There's many, many other rayas in this yisod throughout the parsha. The Leib Elior, Beli Lapian brings the same raya from a ganef. The Torah tells us if the ganef steals a sheep, he has to pay four times. If he steals something heavy, he has to pay five times. So the Gemara, the Reichem and Zakar, really says, what's the difference between four or five? So he says, very simple, says the Gemara. Reichem and Zakar says, when he stole a sheep, he had to put it on his back to carry it. So it's very embarrassing for him. So because of that embarrassment, we let him off one. But it comes to something big, a cow or something, so we say there's no embarrassment, he's walking out, who sees him stealing? So what are we talking about? We're talking about a ganef, a gazlan, not a ganef. We're talking about someone who's not embarrassed to steal in the daylight in front of everyone. We're talking about a proper goy. In the marketplaces, it's very, very normal to see people carrying sheep on their backs when they're slaughtered them or something. So we're not talking something out of the ordinary. So we're talking about a ganef, we're talking about someone who didn't do something so out of the ordinary, but nevertheless, as a Torah, I'm still worried. I'm still got sensitivity because you should know, says the Torah, although we would think that there is no pain, and even if this Gazlan himself doesn't even realize he's experiencing the pain, but deep, deep, deep within him, there is a pain. And this is a message that we seek throughout Parshas Mishpatim. He brings other riots from it. And that's what we say every Friday night. When we say, when we makabal Shabbos on ourselves, so we say in the middle, Ma'oid Omku Machshveisecha, your Machshveisecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are very, very deep. And a fool and a silly person doesn't understand them. And the Mefarshim will ask, you just told me they're very, very deep. If they're very deep, then even a chochem doesn't understand them. So why are you telling me dafka, a silly person, doesn't understand it? And the mefarshim say no. A chochem understands that there's something there that he doesn't understand. He knows that there's something there which he has to work on to understanding. It's only an ishbar, a silly person, a fool, who thinks, no, they're just dumb dinim, which I don't know. There's much more than that. That's why it's only an ishbar, a chsil, who's lo'yevin, who doesn't cut these things. Because a chochem understands that there's something there that he doesn't understand. I'm going to stop here.
Very nice.